Good morning and welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. It is a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Just a couple brief announcements before we begin our time of worship here today. On the back of your bulletin, you'll see next Sunday, March the 22nd, immediately following the worship service, we will have a vacation Bible school meeting. Please plan on attending and invite any others who may not have volunteered during VBS but possibly would like to be a part of this awesome, tremendous ministry this year. If you are in need or know of someone in need of an Easter basket, please contact Tina Shields. She is in the back of the sanctuary, and the deadline is next Sunday, March the 22nd, and the baskets will be distributed on March the 29th at Tables of Plenty at St. Michael's Hall. Please make note of the other announcements on the back of your bulletin. The Holy Week services, we will be having a Monday, Thursday here, April 2nd, 7:30, and then Good Friday service will be held at Shiloh United Methodist Church in Helena. And then just make note of the other ones. But if you would, bow your heads and your hearts and let us go before our Lord and coming King and risen Christ, our Savior. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Jesus, for this day. We thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. We bless you, we honor you, we commit this service into your care, and we pray, O Jesus, that you would minister unto our hearts and impact our minds, and you would move our feet into service for you to expand your kingdom, the kingdom of you, O Jesus. And so, Father, we thank you, we bless you, we praise you, we commit all this into your care. In the wonderful name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Lord, we thank you for the friendship that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for allowing us to have a relationship with you, Father, because we can walk with you, we can talk with you. Because, Lord, what a friend we do have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. If you feel led to sit down and just worship Jesus on this last song, please do it. Because what a friend we do have in Jesus. Yes, Lord, we do thank you as we bow our heads, Father. Lord, Father in heaven, we thank you for what you are doing in our lives. We thank you for the friendship you've given us. Father, you tell us to humble ourselves as children. Sometimes it's hard to understand some of it, Lord, because some of us haven't had fathers or mothers that really cared for us or showed us the way. But you are the Father that is in heaven right now, Father, and you are the one that can show us the way. You long for that relationship with us. And we thank you for the mothers and the fathers that have showed us the way, that have led the way, and the people in the church that are leading the way and setting the example. Father, we thank you for what you are doing, what you will do, and we ask if there's anybody that doesn't know you, please bring them to us, for we want them to understand the relationship that you can have with us. We ask a special blessing over this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm going to invite all the children here this morning to come forward and to have a seat on the floor up here. Let's see more. Kids up there. Come on, don't be shy. All the kids, come forward. We're going to do something a little different. I still see some kids up there. If you want to come on down, come on down. We're going to do something a little different here this morning before we dismiss for Children's Church. And I just want to talk to you guys this morning about the Ten Commandments. Who knows what the Ten Commandments are? Rules that God gives us. Absolutely. Can anybody name one of the commandments? You shall not steal. That's great. What else? Any other ones? You shall not commit murder. Good. Any others? I want to talk to you about the fifth commandment. You know what the fifth commandment does? It tells us to honor our mother and our father. But you know what's really cool? Is it's the first commandment with a promise. What is a promise? Okay, absolutely. It's a promise. You're going to do something or you are making a commitment. You guys know what a commitment is? Commitment means you're going to follow through on what you say. And a promise means that you will do what you say you do. You're going to do. And that's what God gives us a promise. You know what the promise is on the fifth commandment? God says, if you honor your mother and your father, then your days will be long on the earth. How cool is that? You will have long days here on this earth. That's God's promise to you. But the first qualification or the first requirement is to honor. What does it mean to honor? Anybody know? Okay, I'm going to just break this down. I brought two things here for you guys, and who can tell me what I brought? Brought pictures. You know where I got these pictures from? One is my niece and her husband, Christine Corbin, and my other, this is my nephew. I got them off of my fridge. Why do you think they're on my refrigerator? Absolutely, I love them, absolutely. But why else? Do you guys ever do papers in school and then your mom and dad's put papers on the fridge? Did that ever happen? Absolutely. You know why they put papers on the fridge? You don't know why? Because it's a special place. It's a special place, and they want to honor you guys. I put the pictures of my niece and nephew on the fridge because I want to see them many times a day and think of them. Every time your parents go to the fridge and they see those papers on the fridge, they think of you and they are honoring you. So how can we honor our moms and dads? Bryson. Put their pictures on the fridge, absolutely. Absolutely. You learn quick. You learn quick, absolutely. Absolutely, that's one way. How else? How else? Go ahead. Okay, I'm just going to help you out here. We honor our parents, our moms and dads, by listening to them, by obeying what they say, by treating them the way that they should be treated. And absolutely, we put their pictures on the fridge too. So, absolutely. Or we can put our pictures in other special places in our rooms. Special places. Where else can we honor them? What's in us all? Our heart. Absolutely. And we can carry our moms and dads in our heart forever and ever. How cool is that? All right, we're going to dismiss you to Children's Church, and we're going to send you with Joanna, so you can follow Joanna right in the back. As we continue this time of worship with the giving of our tithes and offerings, if the ushers would please come, may we all give back a portion of what God has blessed us with. You may be seated. I'm going to ask Julie to come forward here, and she's going to share with us here this morning about the children's ministry at Trinity United Methodist Church. And I don't know if it was the nerves having the kids there and not knowing what they were going to say, but I kind of got all out of order here. But nonetheless, we're gonna listen to what Julie has on her heart.
All right, and just bear with me. You guys are a little bit older than what I'm used to. You're not nine, so I'm just really excited about what's happening here at Trinity in the children's ministry. And I just wanted to share because I know sometimes it doesn't get shared out to everyone. There have just been some really awesome things that God is doing, and they're not all fully formed yet, but there are just some really awesome plans. He has laid it on several people's hearts, and it's just amazing to me how he confirms. So one person's having this idea, and they feel God's putting it on their heart, and they mention to somebody else, oh yeah, God's been putting it on my heart too. And so slowly, I am not the only one. I'm just up here talking. There are lots of us who have been talking and planning, and VBS is nothing new to this church. It is going to look a little bit different. We're changing things. We don't want VBS to be this time where we have all these kids in here, and then they go back out into the community, and there's nothing to follow up. They don't necessarily find a home in church. They get saved at VBS, and then what? We need to have something to follow behind, to come behind. So we're looking at ways to do that. And God is just, he's putting the plans on people's hearts, and we're just trying to listen and follow his voices. So when you start to see things, or if God's putting on your heart and you're thinking, nope, I don't do kids, right? For some people, those are very intimidating. Honestly, kids need love. If you have love to give, there's a spot for you. There really is. And the number one way you can help is prayer. Right now, through this planning phase, and when I say kids, I'm not talking, through 9 years old. I'm talking all the way through high school. We are looking at a plan to put in place that, so we will raise the kids up in Christ. They will go out in the world, and they will have a strong foundation. And they will not. And if we get them when they're young, even when as they're older, it's easier. I am a teacher, for some of you that know that, and you should hear it. When there is a child that's strong in God, the conversations that happen in school are amazing. I have heard them talk about God, and it's just, they facilitate the conversation all on their own, and they will witness to their friends very strongly. And so we have to lay that foundation. So the number one way you can help is prayer. If you're just maybe a little intimidated, there are lots of us in place that come to one of us. We will help you if you feel that you need to get involved in the children. There's a nursery meeting coming up. Come on, who doesn't love to rock and hold a baby? Okay, I know there's some of you, but. Then we are also looking, there's a VBS meeting coming up, and we're looking to expand it. Teens, not really my thing, but I'm sure it's somebody's thing in here that if you're looking for a way to get involved, if you are crafty, once again, not my thing, but there are some of you that can draw. If you can color, you can help. We'll be having those kind of things coming up. We're looking at possibly doing some things not during a Sunday school time, doing them on Wednesday nights. That's looking to become plans. We are getting involved with Gibsonburg Schools. There's just some really cool things happening. They're just not fully formed, so just look for these opportunities and look for what God is doing in Gibsonburg. He really is moving. He really is. When people are listening to what God's putting on their hearts with these kids, so don't be afraid if you are maybe a little intimidated. Really, they're just mini adults, but they just are a little bit more honest than the rest of us. It's really true. You can't get your feelings hurt, because you should hear what some of the things I teach third grade, and you should hear what they say to me on a daily basis. So, sorry, I'm off topic there. Anyways, I just wanted to share with you what's going on. If God's placing it on your heart, if you want to know more about what's going on, I know there's lots of us who would love to share. I know Heather's one, Annalisa's one. I don't want to leave anybody out, but I know those are some of the ones I've really had some conversations with that we're excited about where God's leading us with these kids. And oh, another way to help, stuffing Easter eggs. You can stuff Easter eggs, and we're so excited. Last year we had almost 150 kids at our Easter extravaganza. I'm shooting for 200 this year. We're wanting to pack 200 goodie bags. So there's another way to help, hiding eggs. The community's getting involved. It's so amazing to me with this Easter extravaganza. You ask, and more businesses are involved from Fremont, more businesses from Gibsonburg. They are coming to us wanting to be involved with the kids. So there's just some really cool things happening. And I just wanted to make sure that, pray for these kids.
Amen. Thank you, Julie. We're going to bow our heads and our hearts, and we are going to offer up a prayer for the children's ministries, even those ones that are not yet formed and not yet started here at Trinity. And then we will all join together in praying the Lord's Prayer as we conclude this time of prayer. Let's go before the Lord and let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. We thank you for your love. And Jesus, your word tells us that you said, let the little children come unto you. And you said, bring them. And so, Father, it's our heart's desire here at Trinity to raise up these young lives in the virtues and the beliefs and in the all the statutes and the doctrines of the Christian faith. Lord, it's our desire to walk with them, to give them the proper foundation, to minister unto their hearts and souls, to love them as you love us, Jesus, to provide what they need. And so, Father, we pray for your leading, we pray for your direction, we pray for your guidance, we pray that we would be walking in step with you and we would not lag behind nor run ahead, but that we would just be in step with you. We bless you for what you've done thus far. We praise you for what you are going to do. And we eagerly anticipate the next steps that you will place before us. We thank you, O Christ. And we join together in praying the Lord's Prayer that you taught your disciples to pray by saying, "Pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." After watching a television presentation about rebellious youth, the husband said to his wife, "What a mess. Where did our generation go wrong?" The wife calmly answered her husband and stated, "We had children." It seems, friends, no matter where we look in our society, we see antagonism, division, and rebellion. Youth rebelling against their parents, and worse, the movement in our culture is to liberate children from all the oppressive forces being placed on them and against them. There's a humanistic movement in our culture, and these groups in our world, they believe that kids should be liberated from the following list. Listen to the following. From traditional morals, traditional values, from parental authority, from physical punishment, from religion, from nationalism and patriotism, from capitalism. Now, before you balk at all of these ideas, I ask, is that not the world in which we are experiencing today? Do we not have a generation coming up who have no value, no respect, no belief, or even an appreciation for authority? Traditional values are a thing of the past, and morals seem to be subjective to the person's feelings at the time. Parental authority. We have parents who are afraid to discipline their children out of fear for being turned into children's services, and nationalism has all but gone. We now burn flags, we stomp out any pride of country. Forget about capitalism, for it's the arch enemy and it's the end of all evil. Friends, this truly is our world. This is our American society in which our children are living and experiencing, and they are being raised in. Many of you being sitting here, you might be thinking that these teenagers this and these kids that, and wanting to place all the blame on the children. I'm going to present that it has been the adults or the parents who have neglected their God-given responsibility and their role. We look to school teachers to provide moral and ethical and then teach reading, writing, and arithmetic all the same time. Our world is a world full of fears and threats and uncertainty, and I'm not wanting to be all negative here this morning. However, I do feel we need to speak truth about the situation. The world is not 1970 anymore. It's not 1950 or 1960 anymore. These same humanistic groups, they believe children should be allowed to have complete sexual freedom, including the right to homosexual marriage. They should have the freedom to allow them to get abortions, and they should have free information and have contraception distributed to them. This, in fact, is our world. We have kids having abortions, going over state lines to have the procedure performed. We have kids cross-dressing. We have children living with no regard to any limits on sexual expression. And then we wonder why our world is in the mess it's in. We wonder how we got here and what went wrong. Our society, friends, is like the frog placed in the water, which is slowly heated, and the frog stays in the water even when it gets to the point of boiling, because the reason is the frog gets acclimated to the subtle, slow temperatures of the water being heated up. And our society is the same. We as Christians are the same as the frog. We have accepted the subtle changes over the years and have not said or stood up for the principles, the traditions, the values, or anything of the sort. And you say, what can we do? How can we change things? The answer is to impact the circle of our influence. And what I mean is to look at your life and all those who are in your circle of influence. your children, your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, your cousins, and begin to pray about how God would use you to impact their lives. And once the Lord has led you, look at the task as a privilege, as an honor to serve Christ in this manner of impacting these kids' lives with values, with morals, with traditions that they have never heard of. And I'll say that again. These kids have never heard of these values. They've never heard of these traditions. They've never heard of these morals. They are not being instilled with them. And yes, I just said these teenagers and young children are not being taught what you and I were taught while they are being raised. They don't know. They do not understand the value of the knowledge that you and I possess. And so I challenge us all to not to sit back and talk yourselves or myself out of being the answer to the problem. Get up and move. Get involved in the lives of these kids. Our world depends upon it. Our world demands it. The kingdom of heaven is calling us to it. And I want to share a video with you here this morning. So let's listen. All right, we're here with Joanna this morning, and Joanna, it's a blessing and a privilege to speak with you, and I want to just ask you a question. How do you serve God here in Trinity?
I am so blessed to lead the kids and tell them about how much Jesus loves them, and I just want to serve them however God leads me, and lately, we've been talking about prayer and how much just God loves us. And I feel that's so important for them to know, have that identity that God will never leave them, God always loves them, that they can talk to God anytime. It doesn't have to be at some special moment. It can be anytime.
So you work with Children's Church?
Yes.
Okay. And how long have you been working with kids?
I've been working with the children for about 3 years. And I never thought that God would lead me to where I am now. I never thought I would be teaching the whole class and in a more leadership position. He really took me step by step. And growing me up in his ministry for me.
All right, great. But you don't have any children, correct?
No, I do not have any children. And I don't have any children that are mine, but God surrounds me with children all the time.
Amen.
And I have this love for them, and sometimes I feel like a child up there with them, so we get along just great.
Amen. So how do you relate to the children?
Just talking to them about what they want to talk about and being excited and making it fun, and we can make mistakes, we can be funny. There's not a specific rules that we have to follow. We just want to go up there to Children's Church and love God and praise Him and just be whoever He made us to be.
Amen. So would you say that you try to get into their world?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. Definitely get into their world and not just stand in front of them and just talk. Get down to their level, and if they need to learn about Jesus by coloring, if they need to draw a picture, if we need to jump around and do however God leads me.
What's the most satisfying thing that you have found to be while you work with the children?
I love it when Jesus teaches me something from the Children's Church lesson that I'm going through that very week or that very day, and I read the story that I'm supposed to teach the little ones, and it's just for me too. And I love that. Amen. That means the most to me.
Amen. Amen. What's the most fondest memory that you have from working with the kids?
there's so many. And they give me a hug when they say, "Miss Joanna, I missed you." Right now I'm in a transition where I'm not up there every time and teaching them, and I hear that they missed me. But when I hear them saying that God loves them, or that I know Jesus, or Jesus forgives me of all my mistakes, when I ask them, "When can you pray?" and they tell me that they can pray anytime, and that when I ask them who loves you, and they all get really loud and scream and say, "God loves me," or "Jesus, you know, Jesus loves me," and when they're excited about that, that just makes my heart so happy.
Do you think that anyone can work with children, or do you think that that's a specific calling?
I think that God will show you, and He puts the gifts inside of you. But I did not have it. I'm a planned person, and I did not have it planned that I was going to teach children's church in 2009, and I was going to eventually work in a daycare, and those were things that God had in me, but I never even knew about them. So I think He can lead you and change you and grow you up in His ministry, but it had to be somewhere. I see when I'm letting God be in control and I'm learning the lesson with the kids, I see these gifts, these aspects of my personality or these gifts that I have that have always been there. And I'm like, "Oh, of course, God, of course you want me to be up here."
I have for you, do you think that all adults have something to offer children?
Definitely. Yes, all adults. You don't have to be, you know, excited and childlike and playing, coloring on the floor. You can, you know, get to them on their level in some other way. That I have quieter kids and some adults. You can always relate to a child. And all adults have something to tell them, something to teach them, some way that they can show them, the children, that God loves them in their own way. Letting God lead you, He's going to show you how He wants you to interact with the children.
Awesome.
And you can have a plan, and I can have a plan, and I go up there, and God changes it all, or I say it in a different way that I didn't even think I was going to. So.
Awesome.
God leads.
We all have something to offer to children. It has been proven and been statistically, you know, sought out that kids before the age of 13 that are exposed to the traditions of the Christian faith and the teachings of the biblical doctrines of the gospel of Christ are more likely to return to that Christian faith in the future. I want to give us all some practical ways this morning of how to impact kids for the glory of God and the kingdom of heaven. You might be sitting here thinking, "I'm not a parent," or may have the thought that I did my time raising my kids. And let me challenge us all today to listen to the words of Jesus, found out of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 29 through 30. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time." Now listen to what they'll receive: houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers. What if God is calling you and me to be a spiritual parent to one of these kids? What if God is calling you and me to impact for all of eternity one of these little ones? What if God wants you and me to get into the world of these kids and to lead them? Friends, this is not just one more thing to do. This has the potential to change the landscape of our world. Listen to an old Chinese proverb. If you're planting for a season, plant rice. If you're planting for a decade, plant trees. If you're planting for a century, plant people. I believe our American culture went running after the quote-unquote American dream and forgot to plant people. It is time for you and me and the Christian church to get into the hearts, the minds, the lives of these kids and position them for the next century. I want to share with you some of the things that Julie alluded to that are in the works here in the community and here at Trinity. You may not be aware, but the Gibsonburg Ministerial Association has been working with Dr. Hernandez who's a superintendent of Gibsonburg Schools, and a mentoring program is in the works. We have submitted a grant to the state of Ohio, and all the churches here in the Gibsonburg area have come on board to be a part of this. That's a wonderful opportunity to be mentors to these children, to walk through life with them, to get into their hearts, their minds, and their souls, and to speak in life-living, practical application how it is to have a faith in Christ. We here at Trinity, as Julie mentioned, we've come up with a comprehensive discipleship plan for the youth, and some of which it includes an after-school program, a mentoring as well, midweek ministries for young men and young women, youth groups as well. And friends, the hope and the vision here is to grow up these kids while instilling in them the virtues of our Christian faith and the value of our Christian heritage, all the while giving them the wisdom of life, which we who are older have gleaned from the years that we've lived, to provide the practical skills they need for the home, the workplace, and future life. Why are we heading in this direction, you might be asking? Why do all of this? Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul from the book of Ephesians. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, and don't miss, that also encompasses mothers as well. Do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Why do all this? Why move in the direction of the training up of the children in the admonition of the Lord? Because, friends, these kids are not getting it in the homes they're growing up in. They don't have the spiritual training in the homes. They're not being raised with the same values, the same traditions, the same beliefs that you and I were blessed to be raised with. As Jesus said, in the kingdom of God, we will receive all things 100-fold. And friends, that even includes parents for children who are being raised with none or are being raised without the proper training, guidance, and direction. And so as we at Trinity move in the direction which God is leading, the development of the children's ministry and reorganization, I challenge us to remember the following. Church is primarily responsible for training the youth. It is not the state, it is not the society. Under God, the child first belongs to the parents, the very heart of Christian nurture, and this is the essence of our focus on the kids' ministry. The very heart of Christian nurture is this, to bring the heart of the child to the heart of the Savior. And I'm going to say that again. Church is primarily responsible for training the youth. It's not the state's job. It's not the school's job. It's not our society's job. It's not somebody else's role. It's the church's role. And under God, the child first belongs to the parents. But the very heart of Christian nurture is this, meaning when we invest in kids' lives, hearts, and minds, our goal, our intent must be this, and it's to bring that heart of that child to the heart of the Savior, to the heart of Christ. That's why we do what we do. The very heart of Christian nurture is this, to bring the heart of the child to the heart of their Savior. And friends, this is why we have ministries such as VBS, Vacation Bible School. This is why we're looking at how we can more effectively reach the youth of this community. And this is why we are focusing upon revamping the nursery. This is why we're asking questions such as, what can we do to reach more kids with the gospel of Christ? How can we be more effective? How can we show the love of Christ in practical manners, in ways that will resonate with them? And friends, it's a start. But you might be asking, what am I asking of you here this morning? First, I'm asking if you are a family to accept your role of raising your kids with all reverence in the Lord, to instill in them the virtues, the values, the beliefs which is befitting of Christ, to grant them encouragement, to raise godly children, to obey their parents as is fitting in the Lord. Secondly, as a church, As Trinity United Methodist Church, I'm asking that we not view the externals of those youth, such as how they look, how they dress. I'm asking, and I am even expecting us all to show the love of Christ and to step up and be the spiritual parents to all these kids God entrusts us with in the future. I'm asking that we as a church would be the light to the lives of these young people for their benefit and not ours. I'm asking that we love, we care for, and bless them with what is needed for their lives. And lastly, I'm asking that you pray and pray and pray. And I'm asking you to search your heart and to step up and get involved in the opportunities that will be forthcoming in the children's ministries. And if you don't know how, sometimes you got to just step out. It can be very intimidating to be around children. Not all of us are school teachers. But friends, we need to step forward and to step out. And if you don't know how, come talk to me, talk to Julie, talk to Heather, talk to Annalisa, talk to someone here at Trinity United Methodist Church. See what is needed, pray about it, and then to step out in faith. Friends, you just might find you are exactly what these young people need. You may already possess what they crave, and that is the love, the attention, the guidance which leads and connects their heart to the heart of Christ. As we move forward, let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord. Jesus, we confess that we're not real comfortable with the way our society is going. We turn on the news and we hear all the negative things, and Father, let it be a wake-up call to our hearts, our souls, and our minds. But, oh Christ, as we move in this direction of implementing what you've placed on the hearts and in the minds of so many people here in your church, we pray you would give us the boldness, you would give us the courage, you would give us the guidance and the wisdom to do what you're calling us to do, to not to be fearful or to be intimidated by what we're facing, but to step out in faith and to step forward in the confidence and all boldness of you, Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our coming King. Oh Christ, may we reach and may we engage these kids with your love, the love that you hath poured into our hearts, souls, minds, and our very being. May we pour it out onto them and may we see the fruit, the results that only your love can bring. May we love these kids into your kingdom. May we properly encourage them to embrace the traditions, the values, the morals, the ethics that are befitting unto you. Oh, Jesus, may we step up. May we step out to what an honor, what a privilege, what an awesome opportunity we have to impact the next generation, to truly send these kids forth into a time in which we will never live, so that they in turn can impact their world. And so, Father, as we go, as we prepare to depart, will you change our hearts? Will you mold us and make us? Will you shape us and form us? And may you just be the very essence of what is in us, that we would be compelled to reach out, not looking at externals or dress or what they do or say, but seeing young people created in your image, bearing the divine stamp of you. Oh, gracious Christ, we thank you and we bless you. In the wonderful and the gracious and the holy and the incredible name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
This message really touched my heart because I grew up in an atheist household. My family did not believe in God at all. In fact, we were not even allowed to talk about God. But my neighbor, who I believe I was 6 years old, really touched me, and she invited me to Bible study and Bible church. And that was my first exposure. And I don't think she knows to this day that she saved my life. Because if it wasn't for the exposure to God at that time, God saw me through so many things, and God saw me through the rough and difficult life, and He knew His plan for me when she asked me to go to church. So just think about that. That one person, that one woman opened her heart to me. Just think of how we can affect so many children, and just think of how many souls that we can save through our outreach.
Oh, I tell you, if you feel like you're alone today, you're not alone. God has a purpose for your life. God doesn't make mistakes, and He made you. You're not a mistake. You're a wonderful child of God. I remember sometimes when I was younger, I was in the back of the station wagon driving home, and I'd fall asleep knowing that my dad was in control of the car. And our Father's in control of our lives, so you're on the right track with Him. Understand that He wants to take your hand. You're never alone. You're precious to Him. You're never, ever alone. You're like a child. You are a child of God. If you feel like you just want to praise Him, if you need to just let go of your worries, your fears, you feel lonely, or you have grief and you don't really understand maybe what's going on in your life, understand that God is here with you, and He wants your hand. He wants to take your precious hand, and we want to take His precious hand in our lives so that we're never alone. He's with us. He gives us hope. He gives us a bright future. So please understand these altars are open if you need Him today just to praise Him or just to talk to Him or you want Him in your life.
As we close here this morning, may we all understand and recognize that we have what these children need. And that's the love of God that has been poured out into your hearts and your souls and my heart and my soul. And may we not be stingy with that love, but may we pour it out onto them, and may we give it away, because as we give it away, God will give us more. And may we be courageous enough to get into the hearts, the minds, and into the very lives of these kids to impact a future generation for the glory of Christ. And in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may we continue to expand His holy kingdom, all for His glory, all for the cause of Christ. May you and may I depart in peace. Amen.